The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the topic that we have been focusing on has been the enlightened journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And what we've seen through the nights has been Imam Hussein alayhi salam's stance. His position was one in which many, because of the culture at that time, because of their ideology, they abandoned Imam Hussein alayhi salam at the time of need. So when we study the history, we start to see what is the path of enlightenment and what is the path of jahiliyyah, or the path of ignorance. Tonight, inshallah, my focus is going to switch to another area in which definitely people can either take a path of enlightenment or they can take a path of ignorance. In order to introduce this area, I want to narrate two incidents that come from the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The first one is when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is visiting a man named Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. Abdullah was at one of the sites where Imam Hussein alayhi salam was pausing on his journey towards Kufa. And when Imam Hussein alayhi salam sets down there and his caravan, you know, puts down and settles down there to rest, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks, like, whose tent that is? And they tell him that is the tent of Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. Abdullah was a famous warrior. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes a select group of his elite family members and he makes his way towards the tent of Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'afi. And you know how it is when a father has children and the children are younger and the children love their father, same thing with the mother as well. The children like to tag along. So in this case, it seems that the children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were tagging along. Anyhow, Imam Hussein alayhi salam presents the case to Abdullah and he tells him, you know, about his mission. He invites him to join him. Abdullah makes an excuse. He says that I can't be there for you. In fact, I've left Kufa so that I wouldn't have to join you. But here you go. Here's my sword. Here's my horse. You take them and inshallah they'll help you. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him that if you are going to be miserly when it comes to giving yourself, then we have no need for your sword nor your horse. It's you that we want, not your sword and your horse. And with that, Imam Hussein alayhi salam leaves. Abdullah is one of those people who narrates this incident himself and he says, this is what happened to me when Imam Hussein alayhi salam visited me. And he makes a comment about the visit of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says that when he visited me, I have never seen anybody more beautiful than Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I've never set my eyes on any more beautiful sight than the scene that I saw at that time when I saw that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was walking towards me with his children surrounding him. You know, when you think about Karbala, we think about battlefields, we think about swords, we think about death, we think about, you know, suffering. And all of these have their own merit, but they also are filled with grief. But in the story of Karbala, there are these moments of incredible compassion and insight. And one of them is this, where we see the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for his family. In one poem that's attributed to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you probably heard it before, but this is a good occasion for us to remind ourselves about it. He's reported to have said regarding his family, لعمرك إني لأحب دارا تكون بها سكينة والرباب. I swear that indeed I love that home in which there is sakina and rabab. أحبهما وأبذل جل مالي. I love them so much, and I would be willing to spend so much on them. وليس لي عتب عندي عتاب. And somebody who wants to come and complain and, you know, say that I'm doing something wrong, they have no right to do so. This is the type of poetry that Imam Hussein alayhi salam would compose in love of his family. Now, why do I mention that? Because we want to show how one of the aspects of pre-Islamic ignorance and the lifestyle of ignorance is when somebody doesn't give family the importance it has to be given. But the way I want to show that is by taking this through a journey back into history. And just like we have seen the likes of Osama bin Zayd, and we've seen, for example, the likes of Shurayh al-Qadi and other figures from Islamic history, we want to today look at another figure named Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha is a famous figure in history. He was somebody who was one of the renowned companions of our Prophet. And his story is really one that gets us to think, how can somebody change so much? They say that Talha was the 8th person to convert, to accept Islam. Talha was always one of the great supporters of our Prophet. He never abandoned him when others abandoned him. We're told that when the mushrikeen and the kuffar of Makkah found out that Talha and his friend Zubair had accepted Islam, they started to torture them. But despite being tortured, they told them that don't pray. If you pray, we're going to torture you even more. Despite being tortured, they kept on praying. They kept up their prayers. This is the type of commitment they had towards Islam. This is just a teenager. At that time, he was showing this type of commitment. Later on, he migrates to Medina. He doesn't participate in a battle of Badr because the Prophet had given him a special assignment. But in the battle of Uhud, we see Talha coming to the forefront. When many of the companions or so-called companions had abandoned our Prophet out of fear of being killed by the enemy forces, there's a few people who are surrounding the Prophet and making sure that his life is protected. Of course, at the forefront of them is Amirul Mu'minin Ali, Imam Ali alayhi salam. But one of them is Talha. And Talha fought so bravely, they say that he even lost one of his fingers in the battle. And at one point, he sees that the Prophet is, he got injured, and he's now fatigued, and the Prophet is praying. And Talha sees that the situation is a little bit, perhaps, you know, dangerous for the Prophet. So he actually picks up our Prophet, the blessed body of our Prophet, and he holds him on his shoulder and he takes him to safe ground. These are the type of sacrifices that Talha had given in his younger years. Later on, we see that Talha is one of those who rushed to the support of Imam Ali alayhi salam after the death of our Prophet. He also gathered at the house of Fatima alayhi salam, and he was supportive of Imam Ali. He was one of the first to give allegiance to Imam Ali alayhi salam. But then a change occurs. And this change we see in a number of figures who eventually become the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And if you wanted to make a timeline of their life, this is the way it works. The first part of their life is one where they are adherents to the wilaya and the authority of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And then there's a time period where they become a little bit kind of, you know, uncommitted to being the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt. And then towards the end of their life, they become those who actually oppose the authority and the wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. May God protect us from that. Because when we hear these stories, it's not just stories in history. They're not just myths and fables. These are real things that happen, brothers and sisters. We don't want to be those people. So Talha, he takes a path where eventually we see that he is on He is the commander of the army that is opposing the Imam of the time in Battle of Jamal. The same person who was fighting alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam, battling the mushrikeen, he is now facing Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of Jamal. And when he dies, we're told that his last words were something very shocking. He says that, "I've never seen an elderly person, somebody who reached old age, who has been more mistaken than I am." Meaning that that journey that I took away from the wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the journey I've taken away from my faith, it's been the worst thing I could have possibly done. And he said that, he quotes a verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, Surah number 8, verse number 8. He says what Allah says in the Quran, that وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا يُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. Be aware and take care and protect yourself against a fitna. Protect yourself against a type of test and trial that is not going to just be for the people who are openly known to be the sinners, the people who are unjust. No, it can even affect those who claim that they're believers as well. And he says that, now I know whom was intended in that ayah. I know that it was intended for myself and Zubair. We're the ones that Allah meant. We were supposed to have taken care of ourselves, but we didn't.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.